through the work, the biggest lesson is really, it sounds stupid, but just be yourself. Being yourself, like being your true authentic self, releasing all of the stupid stuff that's holding you back.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. And before jumping straight into today's process episode, I want to let you in on an announcement to keep on your radar. The sale that happens yearly that everyone is waiting for is coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to release a special episode on Wednesday the 25th on that holiday weekend so that the rest of the weekend you are able to be present, be with your family, yourself, or however you're choosing to enjoy that time off. You will be the very first to hear about this sale on that episode. Others won't hear about it until Friday. So tune in on the 25th, Wednesday, to hear a really special episode that we're releasing, explained, and you'll hear all about the offer of the sale, which is an incomparable price you will find all year long for the pathway to join or to receive 50% off all a la carte workshops. Welcome back to another process episode, which is where we showcase one of our pathway members who have gone on to manifest something extraordinary or big within their life, may it be career, home, relationship, financial. This has become one of your favorite podcast segments that we have, as we can tell by the numbers. And one commonality that I want to make that you'll begin to recognize each of these pathway members share in common from past episodes to new is that not one of them simply dipped their feet into the work or flirted with it. They went all in. I've been able to see this recently with my dad, who's doing the work. They sort of touch in, don't really do the DIs, do it once in a while, skip around the workshops without finishing them. Whereas what you'll listen to with each of these episodes, these are the people that started with how to manifest, moved into shadow, moved into inner child, did all of the workshops, listened to every one of the supported classes, which is our once a month class where Jessica and I go through in the pathway answering members' questions. And then they've gone on to listen to every podcast episode. That's what you will hear from each of the pathway members that we share on this. And not because we're only picking people who do that, the ones who actually manifest the big things, they go all in. And not only that, but once they've gone through the work and they get a baseline of it, they make it their own. So a past guest, Heather Whitaker, you heard that in the Deep Imaginings, she started out with them, listening to them, and they weren't as effective to her. So she figured out her own process that when she walks on hikes, she talks the prompts aloud. So she'll listen to them in her earbuds. Once she's heard the prompts, she then goes and talks out what's been prompted until she gets to the block, and then she reprograms it. And you have to imagine, even as you're walking and listening, you're in a hypnotic state because your brain, your conscious mind isn't flying around. You've now gone into an alpha or a theta. So that's what you'll also find in commonality with these members. They make it their own. They don't stop when they get a roadblock. They actually figure out their own way through it. Today will be no exception. So I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Jessica Gill, who you've heard on the Explained episodes and the Process episodes, as she highlights another really exciting member within the pathway and how they've gone on to manifest something extraordinary.
Welcome back, everyone, to another process episode. It's Jessica here. I am so excited to announce today's guest, Erica Lee Sears. Erica is a full-time artist and mother. Erica and I cover a ton of topics that have been highly requested from the community for quite some time. How to navigate this work while raising children. Erica is an excellent expander and vision holder for any mothers, fathers, parents, or even people who are thinking of having children in the future on how you can best balance this work and the internal work while also showing up the best you can for your children and while managing a full-time career. Erica really stood out to us because she made a commitment to herself that she was going to show up every single day for her art. She was going to do a brand new drawing and share it on social media to keep herself accountable. That sort of dedication runs through over into her meditation and manifestation practices, as well as how dedicated she is to showing up for her child. 6 years later, Erica is still sharing her drawings on social media with her now very expansive and large community who are checking in on what new insight they have of her daily routine. Erica really gives everyone licensing to navigate this work the best they can, and just by showing up daily, you really can transform in a massive, massive way. Enjoy the episode. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Process. Today, we have Erica Lee Sears. I am so, so excited to have you on. I'm sure you know, as you're an avid listener of the podcast, but can you start by sharing your cultural upbringing and background?
Okay, so my cultural background is that my mother is Puerto Rican and my father grew up in like a small town in Oregon and he's white. And I'm from Portland, Oregon. I grew up in the burbs. I have always, you know, had food and had my needs met. So I'm extremely lucky that way. You know, I grew up in the burbs. Like there's not a lot of like culture. Everyone just kind of does a lot of the same things. A little background on me is that my current art project is that I make an original piece of art every single day and I share my journey online. And I'm just finishing my sixth year.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? So the reason why I started my journey was because of the birth of my second child, my son, and I wanted to stay creative on a daily basis. I was a working artist before, but I knew I had to carve out time for myself. And I either had to like dedicate some time to it or I just had to take a break and just let it go. And so when he was 5 weeks old, I started on this journey. I think it might have been the hormones. And I can't believe I've made it this far. So back to my cultural upbringing is like I really did not have a lot of art around me and a lot of like my parents would never, ever, ever be caught going to like an art museum or I think I dragged them to a play once or twice, but it's just something that's just they're not into. And it's not a knock against them. It's just I don't think they expected to have a kid like me. So I didn't have friends that were artists. I didn't have any creative like influences. I didn't go to my first art museum till I was in my 20s. And I honestly can't believe I'm like here and I've made it this far in my career. I mean, growing up the way that I did, it's like you go to high school, you go to college, you get that dream job, you know, get that 401k, you marry, you have your kids. And then it's like, then what? And my parents wanted me to be safe and they didn't know any artists. They didn't know any like creative people, really. They both worked. They both had traditional jobs. Like even my dad to this day is like, I don't even know how you happened.
Do you have any siblings?
I have two older sisters, but they're like way older. They're like about 10 and 12 years older than me.
Mm, so you were kind of like the younger child, the artsy one. Were you tapped into your artist side from a really young age and you were just sort of learning to foster it as you got older?
Well, I loved art, but my mother and my father would always say stuff like, oh, it's a nice side job or a side thing. Like, it's nothing to be taken seriously. You know, I was always using my allowance to buy art supplies growing up. I had a conversation with my mom recently, a couple months ago, and she's like, yeah, artists don't make any money. And I'm like, you don't know. You just don't know. So that was one of a hurdle that I definitely had to get over. Because I was okay with being an artist, but actually making a living being an artist was two different things.
Absolutely. How did you wind up finding sort of expanders? Because I think there's so many artists in the TBM community, and really moving through that sort of artist lack and seeing that it's possible and seeing people making money off of it. Like, who did you look to help you with that?
Actually, the biggest help was in the pathway. There's that how to find expanders and or like what you should be looking for. And then also doing the inner child, the reparenting. I started thinking about what kind of people I want to surround myself with. And that's like not people you know. I mean, you can pick like famous people or anyone, pie in the sky, right? And it could be anybody. So I just started, even today, I like make lists of people that I want to be connected with or surround myself with, or I find inspirational. And I am shocked actually how many people have like come through that I didn't think that would give me the time of day to even have a conversation.
I love that.
It is crazy. Like, I am shocked. And I just want to say famous people are so human and normal and kind. And, you know, it's not even the fact that they're famous, but they're just like huge expanders. And they've definitely have taught me so much. But yeah, but when you make your list, like reading through the community, a lot of people are like, oh, well, this person doesn't have this or that. But you can pick a ton of expanders. You don't have to pick just like one or two. You can pick a lot.
Absolutely. Those fragments are so, so, so key.
Right. And then my new thing is with the expanders is like if it's a person that's written a book or done like documentaries or something like that, I'll start watching those and reading about those, kind of getting deeper on it, which is really expansive for me.
I love that. And especially even like in times of podcasting too, I feel like everyone's so much more accessible than they used to be. So it's like the boom of expanders because everyone feels so much more accessible than they used to be.
You know, it's funny because I think everyone is available. And when people are like, I'm so busy, no one is that busy. And I think everyone is available. Reach out. If someone doesn't get back with you, it's not that big of a deal. It's like maybe the timing's not right. I am shocked at who comes through that I would never have expected. You have this goal like, okay, let's say, okay, I'm just going to say it, even though it's maybe not true, like Britney Spears. Oh, I just want to get a hold of Britney Spears. Oh, please, 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 you know, or Mariah Carey or whatever. And they're like so crazy busy and super huge mega stars. You know, you might not get those expanders coming through, but what happens if you get like someone else that you would have least expected, but it's still up to that caliber?
Yeah, absolutely. And being open to seeing like the qualities of Britney Spears, Mariah Carey in other celebrities or people that you didn't even realize had those same success stories that you're looking towards.
Right, exactly.
Love it. Okay, so let's backtrack. What was like your initiation point to TBM? You mentioned that you really started the podcast. Yeah.
No. This is like super funny because I thought about this after I got your email, you know? Okay, so I found the work through, I think Lacey was on the Goop podcast back in, I want to say June of last year or so. And I am a binger. I mean, that's typical me. You know, I just went and I binged all of the episodes pretty much that were available like through the podcast. And I just started listening to that. And then around this time last year, I had a workshop in LA and this girl comes up to me and she's like, hey, you do the work. I can just tell. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like the work? I don't know. I guess. Sure. And she's like, yeah, Lacey. And she, I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally have listened to the podcast. I'm into it. She's like, no, but I've gone to her speaking engagements and I've gone to the retreat house, and you have to go to the retreat house because it's amazing. It is fantastic. She doesn't even do it justice how she describes it. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, that's amazing. It was really weird. Not like weird in like a bad way, but just weird. Like, I can't believe this is happening, you know? And no, she came up to me. We talked about it for a solid like 45 minutes. And yeah, it was great. And I couldn't believe it. And actually, one more story is just recently, like literally a week ago, a friend that I was telling about the podcast last year-ish, she was like, hey, you're the one that introduced me to that podcast. I just started really getting into it and listening to all the episodes. It's crazy the people that come out of the woodwork. I mean, it's not like I'm talking about it like, hey, it just kind of is a casual conversation.
It's so, I'll have people like who will reach out from my high school. I mean, I'm from the East Coast. So an LA-based company, like reaching all the way to the East Coast, like obviously we're international at this point. In the suburb that I'm from, there's like two or three people that know and do the work and reached out to me. And we're like, oh my gosh, I do this too. And I'm like, what? From my high school? Like, how is this possible?
Especially from like high school, because that's like, what?
Such a small world. So one thing that really stuck out to me is you mentioned how you really binged the podcast for a while, and it was really helpful to you because you were kind of intimidated to first buy in.
Right.
What was kind of your experience going from a podcast listener to a Pathway member?
Okay. So I like love the podcast. I think what is beneficial about like the program is that like I love the supported section because I mean, I like the sections where it's like, okay, you have the manifest and you should go here and here. But I didn't really understand the DIs until I started listening to supported. I feel like for me, my light bulb didn't really go off until you listen to supported because it's kind of like some direction. And then you're like, that's what I'm having, you know, my roadblock with or whatever I'm working on with. This is where I need to really be focusing on. So that's really helped me because I feel like, honestly, for me lately, my tests have been like slapping me in the face. I don't know if it's like October or like all the things that's happening in the world, but I feel like it's just coming at me at full force right now. And actually in the last 6 months, I'll get tests, and then I think I'm out of it. And then I'm like, nope, more work to be done, right?
So excited. I want to like dive into it so much.
I know. And so anyway, but what I did was I listened to some supported episodes and it was like exactly what I needed to hear. And I was like, okay, this is where I should be listening. Now I feel like maybe I'm coming out of it again, I hope. But I think I have to like really dive in and be diligent about doing the DIs every day.
It's like you show up and you're doing the work, but then when you really look down and you're like, wait, how many days a week did I do a DI? Or how many days did I actually like write out the journal prompts or get to the root of it? I think so many times people are like, oh, I just listened to the podcast, like I'm doing the work. Or, oh, I just did that one day of the workshop a month ago, I'm doing the work. And when you really kind of check yourself in it, then you're like, oh, okay, like I do have to show up and like really put in that time to move through a journal prompt or listen to a supported episode or go through a DI and like really commit to it. Because I feel like it's so easy to feel like you're doing it because you're engaging with the brand so much. But then the work is really so internal. It's so by yourself.
Well, because you have to unlock yourself. It's like really about unlocking yourself and like shredding all of your stupid stuff. I mean, everyone has their trauma, their stuff they're working on or the things they're getting, you know, like imposter syndrome or mommy issues, I call it, or, you know, family stuff or kid stuff or husband stuff or boyfriend stuff or whatever. Getting past it, it's really hard. I think people think like, oh yeah, I just listened to it once and it's done. That's why I like doing the supported first, because then it's kind of asking the questions that I feel like I should be asking. And then I can do the DI with a clear mind.
Yeah, it's almost like kind of getting you out of your own way to hear clarity in a different sense.
Yeah.
So talk about the mommy things and how you're, I think one of like our main questions we've been getting so often, and I think it's also just the time of like more and more people are starting to become mothers and have kids and move into different phases of their life. But so many people are like, how do I navigate this work with having kids and as a mom? And, you know, when I'm doing inner child, all I keep thinking about is my child and I can't think about myself and how do I navigate? So how do you balance? I mean, you're a working mom of two. How are you balancing all of this?
Well, okay, being a mom is like, being a parent is very difficult, especially if you want to be a good one. Not a perfect one, but a good one, like where you show up for your child and be present and all of the things. It's hard. It's challenging. But I can honestly say, like, if you are working on yourself, that's like one of the best gifts that you can give to your kids, you know, being a better version of yourself.
Oh, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that goes to like, even if you're with a partner or like your relationships in the world, this is a gift where you could like work on yourself. And I just want to say that doing this work and like listening to the podcast, a lot of this information, like you guys are so generous in giving the information away for free through the podcast. I mean, we're all grateful for. But anyway, with kids, it's really hard. Don't be afraid to work on yourself. Ask for help. I think parents are really tough on each other. I mean, like super tough. We're expected to be perfect all the time and have a meal plan and bake cookies and all of the stuff. So how do you find time to do the work? So I have a meditation practice. So I just put that in with my meditation practice. And I think the work people think, oh, I don't have an hour to 2 hours. And like, I don't either. I mean, but I do have 15 minutes of listening in my studio, or like sometimes I'll listen it if I'm taking my mommy break to Target, I'll put it on in the car.
Love that.
Yeah. Or my Slurpee run. Like, who cares? I mean, it's whenever you have time. If you have time to like watch television, I mean, everyone has 5 minutes. And it doesn't have to be that hard. It's just a matter of like doing a little something for yourself every day.
I completely agree. And I think too, just having the practice of whether you're showing up, even if it is 5 minutes, like at least you gave yourself 5 minutes. Maybe it's 5 minutes to read like a workshop section, or maybe it's 5 minutes to listen to one question unsupported, or 5 minutes to just listen to the beginning of a DI or something. Just that honoring of showing up for yourself, I think, is where the transformation starts to happen, because 5 minutes every day becomes 10 minutes, becomes 15, 20, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just that practice of I'm not going to abandon myself. I'm going to continually show up.
Yes. And oh, and my favorite place to listen to podcasts is like while I'm cleaning. You're not really thinking and you can just like listen. So find your groove. You can do it. Like I said, moms are really tough on each other. I just want to say my kid had a bake sale last year and I just went and bought Chips Ahoy at the store and put them in plastic bags. I mean, who cares? Like in the grand scheme of things, who cares? Just give this gift to yourself.
Absolutely. So what about crafting your list? What was on your list? What were you looking to call in? What were you excited to work through? What were the blocks that you were looking to move through?
So I'm a manifester for human design. But ironically, like before I read all about like human design, I've always been like a list maker. My list, it was, I just want to be a working artist and I want to travel and I want to write a book. Those are like my three things back when I was say 19 or 20. But now my list is super long because I want to include all of my expanders and mentors and all the people I want to like collide with in the world.
I love that.
Yeah. And I know like I was listening to a podcast episode where you're like, oh, we don't have to make lists anymore. Well, I like the list because I feel like I'm always growing my list where I can cross some things off. But I also want to be open and let things in to possibility, because I think sometimes people dream so small when I think sometimes we need to dream big.
Yeah. And it's so funny you mentioned that episode when we were talking. I think it was our team episode behind the scenes and everyone was like, yeah, I don't really craft lists. And I'm thinking about it and I 100% still craft lists. I don't do it with material items as much anymore, but I craft lists to include experiences or bullet points of my authentic self that I want to incorporate into the world. I think when it comes to the physical items, as you get a stronger and stronger trust muscle with manifesting, like manifesting that new free haircut or a trip to the spa or whatever it is, that stuff kind of just comes in naturally. But what your soul's craving, like connecting with those people or fulfilling your career dream of writing a book, those things I think are so helpful to continue to write down, even if you're an expert at the manifesting piece of things.
Right, because I think it should still be on your radar, especially now with all the stuff that's happening in the world. It's like just getting centered at like to what's important. You know, sometimes I put like some gratitude stuff on the list because I'm so grateful for being able to make art every day and making a living at what I do. I don't want to forget that. You know, it's like you come full circle. It's like what your soul's craving, exactly what you were saying.
And so when you crafted your list and you started going through the workshops, what was sort of your route of going through everything? Like, what did you start with? What was coming up for you?
Well, I just did what was recommended. It was like how to manifest. But I feel like you kind of get that through the podcast because that's kind of your gateway, your gateway to it all. And then I feel like I'm always going back to shadow and the inner child all the time because I feel like everything piggybacks on those. Right now I'm working on unblock no, but I feel like I need to go back to the inner child one again because it's like when I first heard no was like obviously from my parents. So yeah, so that's kind of where I go back and forth with those two.
What were some of the ways, especially when you were an inner child, that you were utilizing like reparenting yourself to be more confident and I guess like lucrative and successful as an artist coming from such traditional upbringing and traditional parents?
Well, the work that I had to do around that was really realizing that my family would never really understand what I do. And that is 100% okay. And I'm okay with that. I mean, it's tough having like you like, oh, I want my parents' support. And I want them to be my biggest cheerleaders. But like a lot of people don't have that. And so I think it's like more of the confidence from within and being your own cheerleader and being that person that is going to put yourself out there and be like, you know, run into the fire, right? And not care. I think that was the biggest thing. And I, you know, have really healthy boundaries with my family now and it feels really good. And like I said, I had a conversation with my dad, I want to say like a month ago, and he was like, I just don't understand where you get it from. I just don't get it. Before I would think, oh, I would try to convince him why. But now it's like, I'm okay with his answer. Like it doesn't really matter to me that he can't understand that.
Oh, that's like such a healing point because I think for so many people, hearing something like, I just don't get where you get it from, you know, it triggers feeling unseen, unheard, not validated, not good enough. Like it hits all of these things that like our inner child's really craving at that time. That's why I love doing the DIs because you're getting into that hypnotic state. You're really able to give yourself that love and attention and validation. So if your parent isn't at a place to give you what you need, you don't need it from them anymore. You take your power back and you're like, no, okay, I respect that you don't understand, but I no longer need you to understand for me to be good enough.
Well, because you're your full confident self. And the other thing that was really helpful in the workshop was reassigning yourself parents. Like if you could give yourself any parents, who would they be? I'm curious, what are your parents? Who would you reparent yourself with?
Ooh, I mean, they change all the time, but it's kind of weird. But recently I envision my most magnetic version of self. So I almost envision myself if I was nurtured from a young age to exactly what I wanted, you know, which is almost impossible, but you can give yourself now as an adult, that sort of mother being like so nurturing. And I envision the father figure a lot more similar to my partner now, but as like a paternal father in different, I guess, timeline. So it's kind of like a little weird, twisted element of it, but it gives me that nurturing and allows me to see it. Sometimes I'll bring in like celebrity expanders or celebrity parents, but I think I get too attached to their story. And so I like kind of having like more of just like faceless characters that are like similar to who I aspire to be. And one thing too for me, and I'm curious if this is the same for you, but I'm a really visual person. And so it was so necessary for me to visualize the home, what my room looked like. I love artistic things and being an artist as well and in a different medium. But I really craved visualizing growing up in a home where like musical instruments were spread about and canvases were out and colors and paint and all these things were just around naturally. So it felt like it was encouraged.
I feel like my inner child is being taken up a notch from this conversation. You know? Yeah, that's amazing. Like I never thought about like how I would deck the house, like not just who the parents would be, but how would the world look from your child's self, the home, and what are the things around you to nurture that?
Totally. Because I truly believe that everyone really is an artist in their own medium and form and shape. And it's really their authentic mode of expression. And so I feel like so many people don't have that inner artist nurtured. I mean, The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. Like, there's a reason why that book is so successful, is because people really suppress that sort of childlike play within themselves. And I think it's so important for people to honor that and find a way as an adult to bring that out in themselves.
That is 100% true. So my parents would be minor celebrities, but I decided I get three parents, and it would be Oprah, of course, Michelle Obama, and Phil Jackson.
Yes, love
it. Because, you know, it's just a modern family. But what's interesting about why I bring this up is because, so I like picked my parents, and then weirdly enough, I watched like a documentary about Oprah, and Oprah was talking about her parents or her mother. And she was talking to her mother on her deathbed, like when she was about to die. And she reflected and was like, what do I need to tell my mother in order to let this go? You know, because Oprah is like, everyone knows who Oprah is. I mean, she's wildly successful, came from nothing. And I mean, she's like one of the richest people in the world, right? Anyway, but I loved listening to her talk about her parents or her mother and what she would say to her on her deathbed and what she did say. And it like freed me. It helped me to know you don't have to like please your parents. And, you know, your parents are doing the best possible job. It's just that they might not understand what you're capable of.
And I think that's one thing that's so freeing with inner child too, is like, it's not a blame game of parenting, you know, it's really just every child's so unique and demands sort of a different experience. And how can you give yourself those pieces where you may have felt it was lacking?
Correct.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child, and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership, because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
So how do you, when you're navigating inner child, like, do you think about your children at all? Does that come up? How does it influence your parenting?
It doesn't for me actually at all. Like, I think I'm focused on like kind of bettering myself. I try to just be a good parent. And I don't mean perfect. I mean good, the best of my abilities, because I think it's super important that I'm showing both of my children that they have a strong, powerful mother with lots of opinions and able to make money. I can be successful without being like an entrepreneur and running my own business, because like, I think a lot of people are afraid of strong, powerful women when I think they should be celebrated. And, you know, it's like super taboo in the art world to talk about like money, to talk about success, to talk about all of this stuff. Those things have never held me back. Like, I have always been like very opinionated, and I really want to be powerful to my children.
I think like when I got pregnant with my kids, I did a lot of reflection on like what kind of mother I wanted to be, really thinking about my mommy issues and daddy issues, all that stuff. So everyone's going to be affected at the end of the day, like when your kids grow up, but you can only do your best and try to be your best self.
I love that. And that takes so much of the perfectionism out of it, because ultimately you being a good parent is just you showing up the best that you can. It doesn't mean perfection. It's impossible to have perfection.
Right.
So just enjoy the process.
Well, and not just that, but what I think like doing this kind of work, especially working on improving yourself, I think you naturally improve other areas of your life. With me trying to like heal myself and be better and make amazing artwork, it's like, and grow, my children see that. And, you know, it's like leading by example.
What were some of the tests that you faced and how did you pass? Did you have the tests repeat themselves? What was coming up and what kind of tests are coming up now?
Oh my God, I have so many. Like, they're just, like I said, they're like slapping me in the face, like test, 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 like all over and over again. One example of a test, and this is like one of many. So I'm an artist and I'm on like social media and stuff. And I had someone copy one of my paintings and they basically copied it perfectly and they submitted it to a museum art show.
Oh my gosh.
And they got accepted and I found out about it. And then I had to, you know, get the emails on and all this stuff. And I contacted the girl and I'm like, hey, this is my artwork. You don't have permission to copy this or submit, you know, whatever. And she's like, oh, this is my first time I've ever done this, you know, sorry. And she ends up getting blasted because of social media. Like, I didn't talk about it on social media, but the person that contacted me that told me about the situation put her on blast. You know, I felt bad about the whole situation, but I'm glad I stuck up for myself. And I contacted the museum and stuff, and they were really gracious about it. Yeah, just stuff like that. And or how to handle it, or do I ignore it? I mean, it's all tough.
So when that was coming up for you, what was the underlying message that you felt like you were struggling with? Because I think copying is actually kind of prevalent. I feel like when people get so big, you have a large following. Like, I think when people get so big, like it is an energetic that presents itself often. So kind of what was the root messaging that you were hearing from that copying that you kind of think maybe you were being tested in?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I get that a lot. I had some guy on TikTok copy a piece and I contacted him about it. And he was very gracious about, like, he's like, sorry, I was just doing it for fun. I think where it crosses the line for me, it's like when they recreate something and then submits it as their own to like a contest.
Totally. Yeah.
Or like a museum or something where they're like making money off it. Oh, and the guy from TikTok that copied me, he has like a million followers over there on TikTok. I think the biggest thing is like, first of all, it's like you feel the rage. What is happening? What is going on? Why can't other people get their own creativity? It's not that challenging. That's like the first thing that goes to my mind. But usually when I kind of really face everybody and like get in touch with people, usually for the most part, they apologize and they say sorry. And that's all I really need is like some acknowledgement. Usually I'm good, but I don't know why that one keeps coming up. And I think it's going to keep coming up as I grow in my career. So that's a tough one. And then like I have several different bodies of work, and then I'll have a friend that does something similar to one of my bodies of work. And then I'll be like, why are you doing that? That's another big test. That one's been coming up a lot. And that's the one I'm kind of working through right now.
Well, it's one thing if it's a random stranger on TikTok. It's another thing if it's someone close to you. I'm deducing and like thinking of like, okay, how would I answer this and support it? But yeah, I'm thinking too, like, I wonder if it's a test. It could be one of two things. It could either be you needing to set a stronger boundary, or even just the act of reaching out to these people and saying, hey, no, this is mine. Thank you. And like having grace and confidence in doing that is sort of like jumping off a cliff, because like maybe you were less vocal about things in the past.
Mm-hmm. I let things slide a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I was listening to Supported literally like 3 days ago. And there was like a question on it where she was like, how to deal with getting burned.
And so she was like, well, you have to remember, especially like the people that are closest to you, that they were expanders at one point. And even though you might be taking a break from them now or whatever, and or there's drama or whatever around that whole situation, is that you have to remember that they were expansive for you at a certain particular time. And for some reason, that gave me like incredible relief, because it made me like less angry. Where even the stranger that copied one of my paintings, they really admired my work enough to like do this. And I confronted it and dealt with it. But it gives me some kind of peace that I should remember. It's like not one feeling. It's like a journey of emotions, you know?
Like, you don't just have that one experience with them. It's like, oh, well, they were a fan. They really admired your work. Then they copied it, and then things took a dive. You had other positive experiences along the way with this person.
Right.
Ooh, love the reframe. Very cool. And then, so what were some things that were coming up in shadow with some of your tests?
So I'm a Cancer moon. So I'm like super sensitive about everything, really sensitive about stuff. You know, my signs of Virgo, so it's like I'm always on loop, I feel like. So with shadow, this is something I've actually been working on for a long time. When I get upset about something, it's like goes from 0 to 10. It's not like a 5 or a 6. I'm always like, what? And it's something that I know that I definitely have to take a deep breath and take. I give myself a lot of mommy timeouts. I try to talk to my kids and not get so upset. I take lots of breaks.
That's so talk more about that. So like in the moment, let's say you're really frustrated with something, whether in life or with your kids or whatever it may be. Do you in the moment recognize it coming up and then say, okay, pause, I'm going to go take time by myself?
Oh yeah. Now I don't get to that like heated place like I did in my early 20s, where I'm just like, oh my God, like freaking out after becoming a mother. I can really take a break and just say like, okay, today Everett, my son, he is in kindergarten. He loves kindergarten, but he's my child of no. He likes to say no to everything, and he's a little on the naughty side. So he was in kindergarten and he figured out how to unmute himself, and he decided to make Mario sounds during class.
Oh my gosh.
And he knows that it's part of his responsibility to not. So like a shadow for me, it's like, I mean, everyone wants their kid to do well in school and follow the rules. I mean, there's nothing like that. And so basically, instead of me being like, Everett, what are you doing? I put it on mute. And then I told him we'll talk about it later. And we talked about it later. And he like ended up apologizing to his teacher and saying why. Because it's really important. Because my parents never really apologized to me as a kid. So I'm big on recognizing your feelings and emotions. Like if I do the wrong thing, if I say the wrong thing, I'm the first one to apologize, even to my kids. Because it's like, I mean, I'm human. And yeah, no, totally not perfect here.
That is so, so, so key, because I think, a lot of people have difficulty apologizing or owning it because it makes it look bad. But actually, apologizing and taking accountability for your actions or your responses or whatever it may be is one of the biggest signs of growth and integration.
I feel like this work also has really helped me with my emotional maturity. And I think that's what's been the most helpful in it all.
Yeah. And I think having those pauses built in, whether it is with kids or a partner or friends or whatever it may be, we're all primed to have that explosive reaction when things go awry. It's in our system. Like our survival emotions are right on the surface just to give us guidance when things feel like they're so overwhelming. But I think being able to have tools to just be like, okay, no, you know what? We're not going down this rabbit hole right now. Let's calm down, figure out what's really below the surface, and then we can approach it from a different state.
Yeah. No, but so my shadow is definitely like, according to my human design, it's like I definitely have that. And that's something I've been working on for a really long time. I always say, let's be cool. It's time to be chill, because it's like emotions get, you know, I mean, I have a really sensitive family. Like everyone is super sensitive.
Well, I have Cancer in my chart as well. I have Cancer rising. So I definitely relate to the sensitivity aspects.
Oh, yeah. My daughter is a Cancer. And so kindergarten was tough for her, first grade and all that, because she would just cry it a lot. And so we talk a lot about finding a safe place to cry and a safe place for our feelings. So we talk about a lot of that.
Oh, I love that. That's so, so, so expansive. I love that so much. Because I think, too, like in teaching her that, you're also validating the emotions. Like they are totally safe to have, but just in your safe spaces.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I mean, school is really tough. I mean, it's like it's hard being out there. And it's hard because like she would cry at like birthday parties and cry at all of these different things. You know, I want her to feel comfortable crying and letting out those feelings. However, you can't be just full blown crying at someone else's birthday party. And people can say, oh, you know, who cares and whatever. It's like, well, it's not the right time to cry. Let's find a safe place and like talk about that.
Yeah. And start processing like some of those emotions that are coming up.
Yeah. It turns out she was jealous about the present. If anyone is curious about it, that she wanted the Barbie. But like that's, yeah, I know. But we've talked about that a lot. So yeah.
Okay. And then so just moving into your next sort of phase, you said you feel like you're in a magic dark currently. What does that feel like to you? How does a magic dark sort of present?
Okay. So it always presents in my creativity where I feel like I'm just kind of like I'm always like making stuff and being like really creative. The magic dark for me, it's like when you feel like you're on the tip of something, when you just want to like pour over and you just want to be like free. That's what it feels like for me. And I feel like I've been in that space back and forth for like 6 months. But since we're in lockdown, basically because of COVID, usually we'll travel and take a break and get our batteries recharged, but we can't do that right now. So I feel like that's partially while I'm kind of feeling this way.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can be. I think the recharge is so, so key. Like if you boil down travel, right? Like obviously it's amazing to travel. It's good for the body, the soul, all of those things. But at the root of it, it's changing your environment so you can feel free reacting differently within it. And so when you have to stay inside all time, how can you sort of shift that without changing your environment? It's almost like you have to, I don't know, redecorate the house for a day or like go on like a really long walk outside, something that shifts your environment so it can kind of reset some of those patternings that's coming up.
I know that's what's been the most challenging for me, because usually what we do is like, because my husband's creative too. He's not an artist, but he's a computer guy, but he's very creative in his own field. And what we do is a couple of times a year is that we'll just take a 2-3 week vacation where we just get away, get inspired with the family, go have adventures and stuff like that. That would be our break from our Groundhog Day routine. And now it's like everybody's been experiencing the Groundhog Day routine for like months. I think that's where I'm kind of stuck.
That makes a lot of sense. As confined as we are, it's like you almost have to use creative ways of feeling those escapes when you can't get there. Reframing things or taking day trips or whatever it is to just get out of the house and sort of give yourself, like honoring that same need for joy and play, but within these very strange confines.
Well, and the more that I am free of stuff, the more that comes through. So like every time I've taken like a long like break vacation and then come back to do work, I feel like it's my best work and all of the big career things have come through. And I'm a manifester in human design, so I feel like I have to like always be releasing. And then once I release, that's when stuff comes through.
Mm. So how have things come through? How did your manifestation list come through? What were some of your biggest manifestations come to fruition?
Oh my gosh. So this year has been a fantastic year. I think I mentioned this before, like, so I'm the artist that did Lana Del Rey's spoken word album, the cover, and then she included, I know, and she's so kind and nice. And then a few paintings on the inside that she has like in the back of the book. So yeah, I did that this year and that was amazing. I can't believe it. I'm still pinching myself for that one.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I did my first mural this year. I got into 2 museums this year. And what's crazy about these kind of opportunities is like they just come through where I'll like get an email or a note
And like, I have no idea where they come from.
That's the really interesting part too with manifestation is like, if you had so much control over like, I needed this specific thing to land this exact way and it has to come by this date, when you get so rigid in things, you lose sight of the ability for sort of like, you know, I'll call it magic, to come through, to get those emails out of the blue and be like, what? Okay. But it's like, because you've gone in, done the work, have been showing up, I don't want to overlook the fact that you've literally created a new piece of artwork every single day for 6 years.
I know. Can you believe it? I mean, it's like, I look back on some of the early stuff and I was like, oh my gosh, like what was I doing? But I was a working artist then. I've been a working artist for close to 10 years where I didn't have a day job. I worked in finance before. You know, I'm all self-taught. I don't know. Like, I feel like the more that you shed, the more that comes through. Like, the more your authentic self and don't give a crap about what other people think and really listen to your intuition. Like, I've always like really listened to my inner self. Like, once I feel like I decided to pursue art, I really honed in on that.
I think that's going to expand so many people, and that you're self-taught and that you have been an established artist and a working artist for 10 plus years. So many people are going to be.
Oh my gosh. You know, but there are so many talented people. There are so much art to be made. I think people should be just creating as much art and work as they possibly can and like letting it loose. The only person that really gets in your way is you. And that's true. And like, so by doing this kind of work, it's basically helping you get out of the way of yourself.
On the days where you're like, I don't have time to do a new art piece today or whatever it is, how do you keep that commitment to yourself?
So for me, for my work, I originally did it because I wanted to stay creative because of my son. And I wanted this like little time out of the day that was mine, that I could be like, this is me. I'm not a mom. I'm not a wife. I'm not whatever. And I'm going to make whatever I want to make. So that's the reason why I started it. Now, when I don't want to make something, it's like, I'll do something small. But I realize for me, the reason why I do it every day is like a lot of the time is I need the practice in order to make my ideas come alive, because I can't make my ideas come alive if I don't have the practice and like know how to make things.
What do you think is the biggest lesson that's come to you through doing this work and through showing up for yourself?
Through the work, the biggest lesson is really, it sounds stupid, but just be yourself. Being yourself, like being your true authentic self, releasing all of the stupid stuff that's holding you back. And I didn't realize the stuff like specifically that was holding me back. Some of the things that were holding me back as a child, like I had a teacher call me dumb. I've had a teacher call me a scatterbrain, like my second grade teacher. I had another teacher that told me I'd always be average, that I would never make it. Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. And it's funny because she follows me on Facebook now, but whatever. but I still remember that. I still remember that specific conversation. And it's like ingrained in my head because everyone has those stories of people not believing in them. And it's like releasing those little tidbits and like, be free of them. And you can say, oh, I'm free of them all I want, but it's like really doing the work. That's what those DIs are for. The DIs are for you to like sit down and be like, okay, let me put myself in those shoes of that teacher that said that to me.
It's so powerful too, because when like a test or a trigger comes up, you might think it's about one thing, right? Like even your example before of some of the people who are copying you. But when you go through the journal prompts and then you go into the DI, all of a sudden this memory of, well, this happened when I was 6 and this is what I remembered. And oh my gosh, they're like loosely connected through this pattern. And, you know, you start unearthing all of these little things that as an adult might not feel like a big deal at all. You might not even think it's painful to even think about in the conscious state, but that inner child inside of you really still needs that validation of that emotion to feel processed. And giving yourself space to release it is just game changing.
Oh, it is. It is. And I'm still like a totally work in progress, because I think I was listening to your podcast episode where it was like all the team and you guys were talking about how you want like a mother to come forward and talk to you guys. And like a lot of the mothers don't want to come forward because they feel like they're still working on stuff. And I feel like we're all still working on stuff. And the thing is, though, it's like, letting go of perfection is a big thing with being a parent, especially in America. Moms and parents are expected to, like, you know, have dinner on the table at 5, and you have to volunteer at the PTA, and you also have to work. And it's like, you have to be present for every little thing. And I think letting go of perfection, taking some time for yourself, unlocking yourself is, like, honestly the biggest gift.
Absolutely. You've said it so many times. You're not going to be perfect in this. There is no perfect. You being quote unquote perfect is being human and having ups and downs. And we actually had a really cool Instagram post that I saw on our social today, but it was like, life can go like this. And it was kind of a squiggly line of highs and lows, but your self-worth can maintain steady. That's the driving force, especially, you know, when you have kids, because it's really having that space that, okay, I don't need to be perfect. Let me remove this expectation that I'm setting on myself and just accept I'm doing the best I can. And that's all that I need to do.
Exactly. And that can pertain to, like, a lot of different things in someone's life. Getting the job, getting the boyfriend, getting the husband or whatever, like having, you know, the house or the car or whatever. I mean, you can make your own picket fence. It can be whatever color, rainbow, polka dot plaid you want.
I love that. Okay, so this is kind of like a new question I'm testing out. Ooh, on this one.
I'm excited.
Let's say you're talking to someone else's inner child artist out there who wasn't validated from their parents. Play the role of their magnetic parent and give them some vision holding in their artistic future.
Absolutely. Okay, I can answer this one with confidence because I get a lot of notes from people about something like, you know, they want something profound. And it's super simple. You are talented. You are enough. Make as much artwork as possible and let it live in the world.
Oh, that is so profound. Everyone, play that on repeat. Go rewind it. Listen to it over and over again.
Art has to live. And everyone is creative. It's like what you were saying before. Everyone is an artist. And it's like my husband, he's a computer guy, but he's so extremely creative in the way that he thinks about what he does. And some people are creative with cooking or creative with fitness or creative with health. Put it all out there.
Yay. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on. This was so expansive. I'm so excited for everyone to connect with you. Where can people find you and your work?
Okay, it's my name, Erica, E-R-I-K-A-L-E-E, Sears. Come say hi. I try to respond to everything. If I miss it, send me a DM. But yeah, of course.
Well, congratulations on everything this year. It sounds like it's been extremely expansive and will continue even more so after this magic dark goes through. And I'm so excited to hear what comes out on the other side.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jessica. It was so great to meet you. And I can't believe I'm, like, on here. It's like a dream come true.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Well, have a wonderful week ahead and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is The Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, The Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.